Colleen. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
I am exceptional. We've had an interesting morning here. I'm wearing pink because it's Stand Up to Bullying Day, Pink Shirt Day, something like this. And then I'd like your perspective on this, only because you are an outspoken person. And I said, when we're dealing with kids in the playground or at high school, in the cafeteria or whatever, obviously bullying goes on. We're not naive to think that. And even in the workplace, I'm sure there's bullying in the workplace. However, what we call bullying today is not bullying. It's actually accountability or confrontation. It's disagreement. It's like, no, I disagree with that. Well, stop being a bully. I'm like, that's not bullying. And then we got into this whole thing about I had to confront someone last night in church where I never go. And it was my daughter's confirmation. And I had to tell someone to shut up. And so it unleashed. The last 2 hours have been talking about confronting rude people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it just disappeared like that. Anyway, you are now our island of sanity. You are now moving us beyond the last 2 hours where we confronted the rude people. And now we're going to talk about, we're going to count calories now. Right. Is this, wait a second. I thought we weren't going through this. Now we're going through with it again. Is it going to make any difference at all to you?
Well, if we could count our calories correctly and eat good calories versus bad calories, we would have better functioning brains, better moods, and we probably wouldn't do things like bullying as often as we are today or as often as we're seeing today.
Now,
we need to differentiate between the calories. That's what we need to be doing.
Okay, so could this program, if we listed the macronutrients, and we can't give a total discourse on every food item, but just counting calories is not great. What if we counted macronutrients and said, you know how many grams of good fat you're going to get? You know how many grams of protein you're going to get? Would that be better?
That'd be a long shot too. I think we need to do is just teach people the differences between good calories and bad calories. You know, since the government has been telling us what to eat, how to eat over the last several decades, of course, we're sicker, fatter, and more depressed than ever before in the history of mankind. So we know through history that we shouldn't be listening to the government anyway, because they've been flat out wrong over their recommendations for several decades now.
And it's not a matter of we're eating more calories. That I think the studies are, since the 70s, we're eating about the same calories. It's just we've changed our composition of the calories we eat.
Right, because the calories that we're focusing on are not the calories that are going to stabilize our hormones, that are going to stabilize our nervous systems, that are going to fuel our brains. That's the problem. So when you look at fruits and vegetables, for example, they may have fewer calories than, say, butter or fatty meat. But what's going to stabilize you, what's going to give you real energy, is going to be the butter and the fatty meat. So if you take what the government is doing literally, and you go into a restaurant and you look at the calories associated with a steak, you won't eat the steak because it's going to have more calories than a salad.
Right.
The trouble is you're going to have more sickness, more mental issues, more cost to the healthcare system if you eat the salads more often than you eat the steak.
All right. Let's back up then.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the steak comes in at 700 calories and the salad comes in at 450. So it's like, well, I get 250 less calories, but why are the steak calories? So explain to people why those 700 calories I have 250 calories, I could have a couple glasses of wine or I could have some bread with that. Why is the steak better, even though it's slightly higher calories, why is it better than lower calorie choices?
Well, what we want is lots of saturated fat in the diet. That's what we need, because saturated fat will satisfy your appetite, will fuel your brain, will support your cell membranes. It's so crucial to get enough saturated fat in the diet. And saturated fat is saturated with energy, is saturated with calories, but that's what we need. That's the fuel that our bodies are designed to run on. And so if you eat enough animal fat in the diet, fatty steak, for example, that's going to not only render all sorts of benefits in terms of what I just mentioned, you know, stabilizing your hormones, fueling your brain, fueling your cell membranes, but it's going to satisfy your appetite. So you won't overeat over the course of the day. So when we're not getting enough saturated fat in the diet, we're going to be hungry all the time, and we're going to grab at all those empty calories, which would be more than likely foods that are high in sugar, carbohydrates. Yeah. And that's very destabilizing for the nervous system.
What's interesting is, and it's not an experiment, but from my own anecdotal observations, take that for what it may, But if I need to have a snack, I could plow through a bag of chips, a row of crackers, a couple of buns, but a small bit of cheese does it for me.
Sure, as long as it's high in fat.
Exactly.
Low-fat cheese.
Oh, yeah, no.
You'll be hungry later.
Oh, forget the low-fat. You've taught me enough that I'm not going low-fat cheese. But even just small snack, it's like, yeah, this is a good amount. All right, no problem. Just a small amount of cheese, it's like, you know how many calories are in it? Not many. But you know, because it's tragic. Fat satisfies you.
You know what is tragic about this entire conversation about, you know, putting calorie counts on menus? Is it not only is it a colossal waste of time, energy, it also misinforms the public. When you think about our ancestors, Tom, they never had to think about what they ate. They never had to intellectualize it like we are today because they knew what to eat through wisdom. They learned from their parents, their grandparents, you know, to eat locally, to eat the foods that were surrounding them in the environment. They never had to think about it. I mean, they'd be rolling over in their graves right now if they saw us obsessing over calories.
But we also, over the last 100 years, and you point this out, though, but there's been some real advances in the preparation of food. But there's also modern food is working against us. One of the great examples is the French fry, where it tastes delicious. And the American consumption of fries has gone up from something like 2 pounds a year of potatoes to 50 pounds, mostly French fries, because it satisfies so many things. Your body craves what the French fry has. It's like, this is delicious. I need more of that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's carbohydrate. And unfortunately, the French fries that we're seeing today in the, you know, restaurants and so on are fried in things like soybean oil or canola oil. When historically, you know, if they fried, even McDonald's used to fry their French fries in tallow, which is a much better, much more stable fat to fry in if you're going to eat French fries at all. But, you know, we're just eating these cancer-causing, that's what they are. These oils are cancer-causing. So we're eating too much of these highly processed fried foods on the marketplace today, whether it's French fries or potato chips or what have you.
And then look at the rise of, well, speaking of McDonald's, look at the rise of, the soda. Look at the rise of pop. Mm-hmm. It's like how many of our calories or how many people's calories, it's like that used to be a treat. That used to be, you know, 100 years ago, people were like, What is that? Coke? Mm-hmm. Never heard of it. Mm-hmm. And then now it's just like, oh, yeah, you can get a super big gulp. You can get the big size. And it's like, yeah, those calories, those are nothing. But right. I mean, that if you want to count calories, it's like, oh, those are just a waste.
A very simple rule, Tom, to live by is that if your very, very distant ancestors don't recognize the food, then don't eat it. Or some people say if a caveman wouldn't recognize the food, then don't eat it. What you and I are talking about here is not rocket science. The trouble is there's been so much misinformation on the marketplace today coming from our universities, coming from the media, coming from dietitians and nutritionists, that so many people are walking around scratching their heads and they're confused over what to eat. Because as soon as they hear you and I endorsing the health of eating fatty meat, they're going to read an article that counters that. And so it's this confusion that's actually making people sick, because the truth is actually very simple. But it's the misinformation that's making people question the healthfulness of eating these ancestral foods.
What one of the lines yesterday, and I don't know how they intended it, and I'll let you comment and then we'll take a quick break. And I don't know if they intended it this way, but Deb Matthews was talking about, and maybe she's onto it though. She was talking about we have to get people to make more informed choices. We have to get them to make better choices. In fact, a certain muffin from Tim Hortons has more calories than a cheeseburger. And I'm like, yeah, you should have eaten the cheeseburger. Exactly, exactly. Eat the cheeseburger. The cheeseburger. I mean, no one's died on a diet of cheeseburgers. Muffins. It's like, oh, it's a muffin. It's healthy for you. That's not healthy at all. That's the last thing you should be having.
But the grain industry is going to tell you that the muffin is healthy. And the grain industry has a huge, huge influence on our government and our universities. So we have to realize that money talks, and they have these food groups, these food lobbyists, unfortunately, have a huge amount of influence on government and what the politicians are spewing out to the public.
60 minutes after 11 o'clock, we'll take a quick break. Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us, talking about calorie counts and more. You have a question for Pam? She takes it all. 610-10 if you want to send a text, or McConnell at 610CKTB.com is the email. 905-688-2582, 1-877-610-2582. #610 on the Bell Mobility Network. We'll talk a little bit more with Pam Colleen next on 610CKTB. Nutritional consultant Pam Colleen joining us on the program. Pam, I got a couple of text messages for you. Mm-hmm. This one's a bit of extreme. Tom, I disagree with Pam. If I saw a donut had 1,000 calories on a label, I would eat an apple instead. Well, the choice, you're not making a choice between a 1,000-calorie donut and an apple. However, maybe you would. Maybe you would make a difference.
Right. But what we're missing here is the totality of the diet. We're not talking about apples and oranges here. We're talking about the totality of the diet. So when our ancestors ate, that's what they considered. They considered the totality of the diet and how that alone is really what is going to determine a healthy outcome. It's not whether or not one eats a donut once in a while or eats an apple over a donut. That's not what we're talking about here. We have to look at the characteristics, overall characteristics of a healthy diet. And one of the characteristics of a healthy diet, based on work of people like Dr. Weston A. Price, Sir Robert McCarrison, William Stephenson, and other explorers who have studied primitive cultures where they didn't see disease in these societies. They didn't see things like cancer, heart disease, diabetes, obesity. They saw a healthy culture based on their food choices in their totality. And one of the characteristics of their food choices was that they ate adequate amounts of animal fat in the diet. And it's animal fat that has been wrongly demonized for many, many decades now. And animal fat tends to be very, very, very high in calories. So if we go by the calorie theory, unfortunately, we're going to keep reducing our consumption of animal fat.
Text message. Are there any controlled studies backing up Pam's claim of the vegetable oils causing cancer? Signed.
Oh, just Google it in. You'll see all sorts of research showing the detriment of eating vegetable oils on the marketplace today. You can see.
Would you classify olive oil as vegetable oil?
Well, it is a vegetable oil, but if you look at the Mediterranean diet, right, the Mediterranean diet, of course, is very high in animal fat. It's got olive oil in the diet,
okay.
But it is the emphasis of the calories is actually on animal fat, and they do eat some olive oil. And the olive oil, hopefully, is a very high-quality olive oil, which is extra virgin, first cold-pressed, and so on. But you would eat some olive oil in the diet, and that's fine.
But you were talking
more...
You
just don't want to overdo it.
You were talking more grain oils, like canola and corn oil.
We have to consider that pressing oil from food is a relatively new phenomenon in terms of human history. We have not been pressing oil from food for a very, very long time. In nature, of course, the fats are embedded in the food, and that's really what we should be focusing our attention on. Eating a little bit of olive oil or sesame oil or something like that is okay in the diet, but you just don't want to overdo it. And the trouble is, Tom, that over the last 100 years, with the highly processed oils and margarines and so on the marketplace today, we're just over-consuming these oils, number one. And number two, they're extremely damaged and can contribute to cancer. And this is well-known in the scientific literature.
Here's a I had a text. Oh, I didn't. Don't you think home ec should be made mandatory in school where nutrition and budgeting is taught? Says a texter.
I attended a home ec class once. I guess it might have been about 5 years ago. And unfortunately, in the home ec class, they're endorsing a very high carbohydrate diet and the use of things like margarines and canola oil and soybean oil. So unfortunately, kids are still getting the wrong information.
Lynn in Ridgeway, how are you?
Hi, good morning, Tom. Good morning, Pam. Quick question, please. Vitamin D, Pam. If you're deficient in that and you are told to take 2,000 units, what is it you can supplement that with to get it back?
Mm-hmm. What you can do is you can eat a lot of the smaller fishes, like sardines, for example.
Oh.
Yeah. You can supplement with it. Mm-hmm. And at this time of the year, as we start hopefully seeing some sunshine,
maybe.
Of course, you can get it from the sun. But ideally, we should be getting it from foods where the animals are outside on pasture, basking in the sun, and that's where they're absorbing the vitamin D. And we should be deriving the benefit of that animal being out in the sun. We should be able to derive the benefit of that by eating the meat or the dairy or the egg or whatever. So,
right.
But there's another vitamin D deficiency
about
story,
you know, heart muscle, and it's good for your heart, and it interrupts a lot of other things if you don't have it.
Right. Vitamin D is an important, it's a fat-soluble vitamin. It's a very, very important vitamin, and most people today, unfortunately, are deficient in it simply because of these two things. Number one, fat phobia. We're afraid to eat animal fat.
Yep.
And number two, because the animals that we're eating, if we are eating animal foods, they're inside in confinement operations, so they're not outside getting the vitamin A and the vitamin D.
And we're also not outside as much
either. That's right. Yeah. And like she said, sun's out. It's cold to stand there. the one last thing, if you were that deficient in it, would it make you lightheaded?
That's a, you know, there's a lot of things that can cause people to be lightheaded.
Yeah, well, it's just what I'm reading, the way it just runs through the body and what it doesn't help out if you don't have and blah, 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 blah. I'm assuming probably you could be.
I think that'd be too simplistic to say take vitamin D and it's going to help with lightheadedness. There's so much that can be related to that. Like what I'm looking at, particularly when I work with clients, is I look at the adrenal glands. And when the adrenal glands are not functioning properly, people tend to experience things like lightheadedness. But to get the adrenal glands back and functioning again, that's a really loaded question. But you got to just get, if you, to fuel the adrenal glands, the best fuel for the adrenal glands is going to be animal fat.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're talking red meats.
Fatty red meat.
Fatty red meats. Good red meats.
Yeah, not lean, but fatty.
No, it doesn't matter if you cook them really, really well, though, does it?
I don't have mine bloody. Cook it the way you like it. Cook it the way you like it. And make sure, I always tell my clients to make sure you're taking cod liver oil as well. Cod liver oil is one of the best, most concentrated sources of the fat-soluble vitamins.
Oh, well, you know, I have high end in the fridge. I give it to my cat, so I will delve into that. Thank you so much, Pam. Have a good day.
Thanks, Lynn. You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Pam Colleen, what's coming up for you these next couple of weeks?
The next couple of weeks, I'm teaching part three and part four of my nutrition classes, which are based on the work of Dr. Weston A. Price. So I'm teaching people about the fundamental principles of his observations when he traveled around the world and he studied these primitive cultures who were extremely healthy. So what was it that they were eating that made them so incredibly healthy? So I'm teaching part three and part four over the next two Saturdays at the Central Library here in London. And I do have more information on my website, which is just my name, pamkilleen.com.
PamKilleen.com. PamKilleen.com.
That's right. That's right. And I'll be teaching more classes this spring as well.
You have yourself a terrific weekend.
I will. Stay warm, Tom.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
March is almost. Well, we're almost to March. It's supposed to be 1 degree on Saturday. It's not supposed to last long, though. 29 minutes after 11 o'clock. Well, calorie counts on menu boards. Do you like this idea or not? Do you want to see that information? What more information do you want to see when you're ordering your food? I think you have to have 20 outlets in Ontario. I think we should lower that number. I think 5 is good enough. If you have 5 outlets in Ontario, that's pretty good. You should be subject to this. Or should we know anything about the food that we're about to eat? We'll talk about that when we come back. News is next on 610 CKTV.